Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Thank you, Barry Woods. Yes, indeed. The Weekend Report is on your radio, and we appreciate you being a part of it. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And Mike Ferguson.
How's it going?
The host of American Viewpoints, which you can hear every Sunday morning here on the station, is in studio with us for a little while today.
Howdy.
Howdy. How's it going? And of course, my partner Chris Arps is once again connected through the marvel of modern technology as we continue to practice proper social distancing, or Chris just didn't feel like driving down to the studio.
Hey, Tony. Look, you know I'm boycotting the NFL this year because of all the political activism and everything, but you know I'm a diehard Cowboys fan still till they put me in the grave. What'd you think about Thursday's game?
So I'm like you. I don't watch. I haven't watched football for 2 or 3 years, except for college football. I still get into college sports a little bit. But
it's painful.
Professional sports turned me off when the kneeling and politics started to take over, and I just, you know, it just, and then obviously once coronavirus happened and there was no sports for a while, that kind of finished off professional sports for me. So I barely watch. I did have the Cowboys game on, like in the background on Thanksgiving.
Versus the Washington
football team, which trying to explain that to my mom was like, I was like, the name of the team is the Washington football team. And she's like, the Redskins. And I'm like, no, the Washington football team. They're the Redskins. And I said, no, they're not anymore. I said, they had to change their name. She goes, oh, what'd they change it to? And I said, the Washington football team. She said, I know. What did they change their name to?
So basically,
it was Abbott Costello. You had
who's on first.
It was who's on first. Yes, it was. It was like, now they're the Washington football team.
And her favorite basketball team is the Washington.
But what's their name?
Bullets.
She was like, what is their mascot? Because that will be their team name. And I was like, no, they're just the Washington football team. I even did it on Google. Like, I asked my phone. I said, what is the score of the Dallas Cowboys game? And it says, the Dallas Cowboys are losing to the Washington football team. Literally, that's what it said. But so anyway, to answer your question, Chris, I had it on in the background, and I don't know what happened. I swear I looked at it, and it was the fourth quarter, and there was like 10 minutes to go. And it was 20-16. And then I walked out of the room and walked back in, and it was 42-16. Yeah. Is that what, I mean, it happened that quickly, right?
Like I said, I'm boycotting the game. So after dinner, we turned it on. It was like the last 3 minutes, and that was the final score. But when I looked at the box score, I was like, okay, the first three quarters, it looks like it was close.
Well, Dallas was winning
just
for a while.
Blown, they just got blown out in the fourth quarter.
It was close. Every time I looked at it, it was like within a touchdown. And then suddenly it was
not.
I literally tuned in probably a minute before. Is when I can't think of the player, but he intercepted the ball and ran in for a touchdown on Dallas's like 10-yard line. That's when I tuned in.
That plays for the Washington football team did that?
Yeah, somebody on the Washington football team. I can't tell you the player, the no-name player on the Washington football team.
On the no-name team.
Over the no-name team.
Mike, you're an athlete. Do you watch sports too?
Baseball, I'll watch college sports. I gave up on the NFL a few years back. And a lot of people think, oh, it's just, you know, you're the right-leaning guy and you can't stand what they're saying. I'm like, no, I don't care if they got onto every every issue that I'm passionate about on my side. Just let my amusement be amusement. I don't want the politics. I don't want the, that's what we do to make that stuff go away, as we watch a game, and I can be sitting next to a Marxist, but I don't know that, because if Paul Goldschmidt hits a home run, we're still high-fiving. I don't care who he voted for 3 hours. We're all on the same side, and that's what pisses me off about the whole woke politics stuff in sports. But I was really glad Major League Baseball kind of dipped their toe in that.
They didn't go as far very
quickly went, ooh, that's really cold. We're getting out of there. We're not doing that.
Baseball and hockey did the best of staying out of it.
Let me ask Mike this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, because Conan, you know, Mike plays sports still and really into sports. So, is the cat out of the bag, Mike? I mean, will we ever get back to the pre-protest days where politics was kept out of sports and we really didn't know what our athletes' political leanings were? Or is that cat out of the bag and this is just how it's going to be from now on, and either take it or leave it?
I think we're going to know where some of the athletes stand, because I think the leagues are going to go, you know what? Okay, you guys run your social media and do whatever you want on your own time, because I don't think they can put it all back in the bag. But even the NBA is saying, yeah, we got our teeth kicked in these last couple of years, especially this year. I mean, a little bit of equality, though. The NBA's ratings were pretty much equal to the WNBA. So congratulations on that, guys, with all your wokeism. How'd that work out for you? But I think that the leagues themselves are going to start drawing back, because NFL is still the number one sports when it comes to ratings, but it's way down from where it used to be.
Right.
And the NBA is, I mean, if you're not in an NBA market, they don't really, nobody pays attention to them anymore. I mean, and so I think that they've just, the market has told them, you got a couple choices here. What are you going to do?
How bad, though, do they look? Like, are the people that fought for kneeling and putting social messages in the end zone and on jerseys and things like that, they seemingly won the battle when all these leagues said, yeah, we embrace these messages. We embrace our athletes' personalities and what they're passionate about, and we're going to let them put these messages on their jerseys, unless it's a conservative message.
Right,
we're going to let them put these messages on their jerseys.
Or criticizing Chinese slave labor.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. But then as soon as that affects the bottom line and they realize, oh, when we let these players do this and put this on their jerseys and we put this on the sidelines and in the end zones, people started watching, so now we're going to ban it. Chris, that should be the thing that they're angry at more than conservatives that were against them from the very beginning. Somebody who says, oh yeah, we're on your side until it costs us money. I mean, how gross is that? It's unbelievable, right?
Well, and it just really was just highlighted when it came to LeBron James. Mm-hmm. You know, he made an open secret that he wants to be the first, I think, millionaire or billionaire basketball player, which I think Michael Jordan already has that title. But one road to that was going to be through China. So, you know, he talks about all this wokeness and Black Lives Matter and police killing black people. But when it comes to people over in China and Hong Kong and, you know, don't have their civil rights, he's willing to look the other way as long as, you know, he can reach his golden calf.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Chris, Michael Jordan just donated all the money from his
last dance.
So he's not going to make that plateau because he gave, what, $2 million away?
Yeah, his slice of The Last Dance, according to the article I was reading about it earlier this week, he got $2 million for his part of The Last Dance, and he donated that to Feeding America and food banks.
Good.
Is where he put that. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're finish up the sports conversation with the one person that works for for a professional sports team.
And Pat Maroon.
What's going on with the Blues? Have they said anything about, like,
not a word.
Season starting time? Is that
not
been
a word?
No.
Not a word. I haven't heard anything. But talking about activism, Pat Maroon, when Officer Bo was murdered here in St. Louis, he had a tribute to Officer Bo Hannon on his stick when he was playing in the playoffs. And that didn't get a lot of
funny how that didn't get celebrated.
Well, it did on Twitter because that's where he posted it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, because he wanted to do a private thing, and he was playing for Tampa, and this was a St. Louis thing,
right?
And so he did do that, and so there is some conservative activism out there. It's just not as widespread,
right?
As we know,
right?
So they were. I wonder how much is that related to, because hockey is a predominantly white sport and is not as diverse as football and basketball. You think that would make the athletes more open to be a
huge part of the fandom of the NHL is in Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. Like a huge percentage, of people that watch the NHL are in
sport.
Canada. Yeah, it's their national sport. So putting MAGA or, Kamala or Biden Harris or things like that
doesn't make sense.
Doesn't really make any sense to them.
But I have not heard anything. As we talked about last time, we talked about this a month ago. They had canceled the Winter Classic and they had canceled the All Star Game. There is currently
they were supposed to start on January 1st.
The Blues would have been the first game.
Is there any chance of that still happening? Have they officially said it's not starting on January 1st?
No, they haven't. Like the NBA, they said their collective bargaining, that's the problem. The owners went back and said, hey, we want to change the collective bargaining agreement that we just agreed to. And so the players' union and the owners, they want to go from like deferring 10% of their salaries to 13% of their salaries. So I don't know the ins and outs of it. Mm-hmm. But I could see another labor dispute, even though they just renewed their labor contract to do that little bubble. And so I don't know what's going on. Hopefully they can get it all worked out, because a lot of the Canadians don't want to travel between. That's in the bringing it back to the NBA. Right. Toronto is going to be playing in the United States because they don't want to be traveling back and forth.
Well, if things don't change, I think the Blue Jays will be, too. Because they had to do their part of the season in the U.S. because the Canadian government at different levels said, nope, we're not allowing anybody else to do it. We're not allowing you to do it just because you're baseball players.
So I know we got to take this first break in a minute here, but we're going to talk to Adam. How do you pronounce Adam's last name, Chris?
Adam Schwadron.
Adam Schwadron, who won his state representative race in St. Charles County by the skin of his teeth. Right, I mean, a Republican winning in St. Charles County is not surprising, but this was a unique race in the fact that it was an open seat, and so two people that have not served are going for the same seat, and it was a nail biter. The Democrats really made a run at trying to take this seat out of St. Charles County, and Adam was able to fight that off. So we're going to talk to him in just a minute, but I want to, while we still have Mike in the studio and have time to stay on track here. Big news this week, of course, regarding coronavirus, is that it looks like the vaccines, the president is saying, and I saw some other officials saying earlier in the week, that vaccines could be ready by next week, by like December 11th.
Yep.
Mike famously had a battle with coronavirus very early on.
Infamously, yeah.
Very early on, one of the earliest cases, one of the most extreme cases of anyone that I talked to. So how do you feel about the idea of the vaccine coming? Are you excited for this process? If you could take, I guess, do you have to take it? Do you
not
take
this
it?
Year?
Yeah.
Just because I've got so many, I'm just chock full of antibodies at this point.
Yeah.
So I would be lowest on the list at all. I mean, I'm one of those where I completely understand somebody saying, well, I'm glad we've got it, but you go first. Let's make sure it's really safe because we, made this thing so fast. Other people are saying, man, I'm going to knock other people out of the way to get in the front of the line.
That's me.
I'm good with either one of those. I think, I get a flu shot. I mean, it's, I know that vaccines, medically speaking, are not as complicated to make as, other medicines and drugs and all that kind of stuff. But, we made it really, really, really fast. I mean, President Trump incentivized in the right ways to do this. And as much of a small government guy as I am, I think the federal government coming in and saying we're going to provide payments and incentives to develop a vaccine very fast is fine. I got no issue with that at all. So the fact if it's an effective vaccine, great, wonderful. And I don't even really have as much of a problem with them saying, OK, we're going to prioritize who gets the first doses and everything like that. I just that makes sense to me. That's fine between the you know, infection rate, because probably we've had millions of people who have had coronavirus and just don't know it.
Yeah.
In all likelihood.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were the first person that I knew that had it, but since, you know, as the year went on, I've probably half dozen people that I know pretty close that have had it, and a few of them only knew because they got tested because they were close to somebody.
Right.
They wouldn't have got tested and because they weren't sick, they weren't feeling, they ended up knowing that they had it, and it was almost nothing.
Yeah, or they thought they had like an allergy or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had one guy I know, he goes, yeah, he goes, I had a little tickle in my throat for like half a day. I just figured it was allergies. That was that time of year in the fall. And he goes, and then I ended up getting tested to one thing. It turns out I had coronavirus, and I didn't even know it. And I'm like, well, that's how most people are.
Would you take the vaccine? Where would you be if you were eligible for the vaccine? If it was something that you did need, would you be first in line, last in line, somewhere in the middle?
I would probably be last in line, but I'd be in line.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yes. It does. Yeah. It does. Chris, what do you think about the vaccine?
I'm going to let the guinea pigs like you and Mike go ahead and get the vaccine. And if in 6 months you're not growing a second head, then I'd go ahead and get it.
Here's
get
my
it
question
myself,
for people so. That here's my question for people that think
you anti-vaxxer.
To an extent, I understand that. But what is in it for Pfizer and the U.S. government
and AstraZeneca
and all these other places
Johnson & Johnson
to put out a vaccine that's going to make people sick or worse, or whatever?
Here's my issue. A lot of times when drugs and vaccines come out, they have years and years of research know what the side effects may be of this drug.
Don't you think
there's not enough time to study what type of side effects, long-term side effects, may be with this vaccine? That's my issue.
I understand that, but don't you think that sometimes we make it too hard?
In 3 or 4 years, Tony, I would take it, but not right now. I want to see what the long-term effects
are. But don't you think many times we wait too long on medicines, treatments, vaccines, and like I understand
stuff
that it normally
available
takes 3 or 4.
Europe.
Like when Trump did the whole right to try thing, that was a big supporter of that.
Yeah, same here.
Gave you a chance to get around that waiting period. I think that sometimes we're a little too strict. And
that's absolutely true. I mean, that's one of the reasons that medicines are so expensive, our regulatory approval process.
Yeah.
I mean, like I heard it referred to once as saying that second medicine, whatever that pharmaceutical is, that second one cost $1.50. The first one cost $10 billion.
Because it's generic.
I've got two words for it to explain my apprehension about getting this vaccine.
Second head. And
I hope you guys get the reference. Tuskegee experiment.
Yeah, okay.
So that makes sense. My apprehension.
This is a different time, though, right? I mean,
Tony, I remember there was a different time also when they were blowing up atomic weapons in the desert and having soldiers out there. There was a thing that came out here in St. Louis that the Post-Dispatch did a big story about it, where it was in the 40s or 50s where they were spraying some type of chemicals on people in low-income neighborhoods to study the effect of it.
Well, I grew up in Coldwater Creek, so you're
telling people about it until years later, and these people end up getting sick and dying.
Yeah,
so I just don't trust the government when it comes to these things. Especially
but they're
going
to give it to health workers first. You don't want to kill them.
I agree with you. I don't trust the government, but these weren't made by the government. These were private companies. This was capitalism
Germans.
At work
effects,
trying to get their
guys,
job done.
Long-term, we don't know what the long-term effects. That's my issue.
Yeah.
I don't think they would go out there purposely and kill people or put something out dangerous. I don't believe that, but we don't know what the long-term effects are, and that's my concern.
I'll be the first person in line the first chance I get.
And if
that's
you don't grow a second head in 6 months, then I'm right there with you, bro.
What if it shows up in eight months?
Think of this. If you grow a second head, you could be your own co-host and
you wouldn't
need arts for anything.
That's a great point.
Thanks, Mike.
Love it.
All right, got to take a quick break.
Good idea, Carl.
Don't go anywhere. More Weekend Report coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah, that's that slow, smooth jam.
Perry's got skills, man.
He does.
I love that. That's one of my favorite tunes of this one.
The silky, smooth sounds of Perry Woods on 97.1 Smooth Jazz. Welcome back to the Weekend Report.
You tried to hit the post and you missed
talk.
It.
No, I didn't. I should have done that. I wasn't even thinking about that, honestly. I should have. This is one of my favorite Perry Woods songs, though.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites, probably, too.
Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Chris Arps.
Hey.
And big thanks to Mike Ferguson for doing that first segment with us and being here in the studio. And as we mentioned with Mike, joining us now on the line is Adam Schwadron. He is the brand new Missouri State Representative elect from St. Charles County and has an awesome story. Chris, do you want to introduce our guest for us?
Sure. Adam Schwadron is a young man that I've known for a long time, and he ran for an open seat out there in St. Charles County. He'll tell us the district number. I don't know offhand. But he won that race in a squeaker. And I think what makes this race interesting is people have the idea that St. Charles is a very Republican county. There's no anytime soon that's not going to happen. It's always going to be Republican. But this was a close race, one of the closest races in Missouri. And I think Adam won by about 500 votes. So we'll talk to him about that, Tony.
Awesome.
So, and other things.
Yeah, Representative Schwadron, great to talk. Or Representative-elect Schwadron, let's keep it proper for
yes,
now.
Yes, we have
to. Great to talk with you. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you for having me on. And Chris, I'm not sure I'm a young man anymore. I just turned 40 this year, so I think young man is now out of the question.
Yeah, but Chris is 77 years old,
so I'm sure he won't agree with that. Right, Tony?
When you're talking to somebody who's in their 70s like Chris, then everybody's a young man. So that's where that comes from.
Oh, I feel the love here.
Yeah. I'm 42, so yeah. Anybody that wants to still call me young, I'll embrace it. No doubt about that. So, Adam, yeah, tell us that story. So it was like Chris just said, it was an open seat. What made you decide to go for it? And what was your interest of getting into? Give us your backstory a little bit. Tell us about what motivated you to decide to run for this office.
Well, back in 2003, I had the amazing opportunity to serve as a student lobbyist for the Associated Students of the University of Missouri. I was a student at UM St. Louis, And so I was able to go down to the Capitol for an entire session back in 2003, in which a good friend of mine actually just won his election in 2002 to serve as a state representative down there, Sherman Parker, which I'm sure everyone is already familiar with as a result of Chris. Mm-hmm. But being able to see the process from start to finish, working on getting bills passed, working on defeating bills. But as a lobbyist, there's only so much you can do. So I knew at the end of that one day I would eventually run for office. And so in the era of term limits, you already know when someone is guaranteed to not be running again. So I had eyed this year as my opportunity here in the 106th district in St. Charles, which is on the eastern end of the county. And I went for it.
So as Chris sort of highlighted there, as he illustrated, a lot of people think of St. Charles County as being bright red. But like everywhere, especially there on the, like you say, on the eastern edge, which is, you know, a lot closer to St. Louis County and some very blue districts, I would imagine that, you can't just brush over all of St. Charles County and say that it's you know, got a stronghold conservative Republican government. I would imagine that the Democrats were very much targeting that seat, knowing it was open. You would be not an incumbent with an advantage running against them, and they probably really targeted that seat. Tell us about that district a little bit and the election process that you went through.
Yeah, so the Democrats did in fact target this race. They had 8 targeted races across the state. They called them the Claire McCaskill 8. They're districts, state house districts, in which Claire McCaskill received a majority of the votes back in 2018 when she was running for re-election.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, my district had voted 51.13% for her. So that put them on the targeted list. And they definitely well-funded my opponent. And she put up a heck of a fight in terms of getting out there and, you know, despite the coronavirus, with having to completely rewrite your entire campaign plan overnight to deal with that. We were still able to get our message out.
Adam, how badly were you outspent? Just curious.
Well, I had raised, I need to check out the final numbers. The final reports are coming in at the end, but I've got a great campaign treasurer that's taking care of everything for me. I think I raised about $25,000. And my opponent had raised somewhere around $80,000.
Woo! Yeah, that's more than double.
3 times.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, talk about the future of St. Charles County and how important it is for the Republicans to hold on to it, to keep it bright red? Because I'm sure, you know, like you're seeing right there on the eastern edge, the Democrats are going to try to sneak in and take that power away, and that's going to happen in several counties around the state. And what we take advantage of, many of us, is being a conservative supermajority. You know, that can disappear a lot faster than people realize, I think.
Yeah, it sure can. And what I'm noticing here in this county is we are having tremendous growth. Just 10 years ago, we were sitting at about 369,000 people in the census. And after the census comes in, we'll probably be sitting somewhere between 405,000-410,000 people. We also have the redistricting process coming up as a result of that this next year. So we'll probably be adding another whole seat or parts of many others. And as we have this tremendous growth in St. Charles, we're noticing the population for the entire metropolitan area is pretty stagnant. So what that means is a lot of people are moving from one area of St. Louis into St. Charles County because they're seeing the great opportunities that we have out here. So, you know, a lot of that is coming from the north county area, Ferguson, Florissant, Hazelwood.
That's where I'm at.
They're coming out. They're coming out here to St. Charles, and unfortunately, they're bringing their voting patterns with them. And so don't vote for what you fled.
that's a great slogan. Talking to Missouri State Representative-elect Adam Schwadron. Go ahead, Chris. Got a couple minutes left. Go ahead, Chris.
Adam, I'll ask you two quick things. One, I know there's a push with redistricting to get St. Charles County into one congressional district. How successful will you think that will be? And two, I noticed on some of my travels, you know, to Georgia and Maine and other places, that I saw on businesses stickers that said that these companies weren't liable if you contacted coronavirus in their establishments. And I know there's a movement to get a bill passed like that in Missouri. Are you in favor of that? And how successful do you think that will be next session?
Well, going to your first point on the entire county being in one congressional district, I know that is something that we want out here in St. Charles County. Our contention is that you want to have as much of a county in one district as possible. And so if you have a fewer number of people than would fit in one congressional district, it just serves that all of those people should be in one congressional district. And the larger counties, such as St. Louis County, can be split up since all of them cannot be put into one. On your second point of COVID liability, that is actually something that the legislature is dealing with in the 100th General Assembly, which I will be a part of the 101st. But that has been added to their special session, and they are hoping to get that done before we get sworn in on January 6th next year.
Adam, I want to, before we let you go, I want to highlight that point that you just made about people heading over into St. Charles County. Not only moving to St. Charles County, but right now, the mass of people that want to go to a restaurant or go to the gym mm-hmm. or get a fountain soda at the gas station, you know, all of these things for people like me who live in Florissant, but, you know, I can hop on 370 and I can be in St. Charles County in 10 minutes or less. How many people are you guys seeing? As Sam Page has everything shut down over here in St. Louis County, it's got to be businesses booming, especially for districts like yours that are just on the other side of the river, just on the other side of the line, that people that want to take advantage of those services and those businesses, that's where they're going. I bet you're seeing tons of people over there.
Yeah, we are seeing lots of people. I mean, I can go right to the Quick Trip here on 5th Street, which is still in my district at 5th Street and 70.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can still get my fountain Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I own a carpet cleaning business as well, because yeah. we're part-time legislators.
Sure.
So anytime I go into St. Louis County, I have to remember if I want a fountain soda, I need to grab it while I'm still on this side of the river.
Yeah.
Rather than going and getting it in St. Louis County.
Yeah. I've been driving across the river to get fountain sodas all year because my wife loves her Quick Trip Dr. Pepper and a styrofoam cup. I know that that's probably not popular with many people, but it's what keeps my wife happy. So I've been to that. I've been to that QT on 5th Street, and I've been to the one I've driven across on 370 and gotten over there and gotten to a couple Quick Trips on that way as well all year long. Adam, before we let you go, if people want to keep up with what you are working on, do you have a website, social media, all that stuff? And also, you just mentioned it, feel free to plug the business as well.
Yeah, I can be found on Facebook. Mo State Rep 106 is my page URL, just mm-hmm. after Facebook.com, mm-hmm. Mo State Rep 106. I'm on Twitter, although not as much, at AJ Schwadron. And my webpage is AdamSchwadron.com. I plan on keeping that updated while I'm down there in Jefferson City because communication is key in order to getting out to the people. And then also, my small business is a carpet cleaning business, so the Clean Carpet Company at cleancarpetco.com.
Hey, and Tony Colombo and I have some advice for you, too.
Yeah, hit it.
Yes.
Tell him, Chris.
Get close to Nick Schroer.
I was going to tell him to stay away from Nick Schroer.
Well, I had my my watch party alongside Nick, so I am very familiar with Nick. And,
yeah.
He is a good friend as well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a regular on this show. And Adam, I hope we can talk to you many times going forward in the future as well.
I hope so as well. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you, Mr. Representative-elect.
Yes, thank you, sir. We will take a quick break now, and when we get back, we are going to switch sides, and we're going to talk to former Missouri Democrat State Senator Jeff Smith when we get back to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. And
after the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Chris Arps.
Hi.
Is connected there. Hi. At the Arps compound.
He's got a Zoom background today. Did you see
that?
Yeah,
I see that. You got, what are you, sitting in front of a green screen?
Yes, but no, actually, there's not a green screen in front of it. That's why it looks so choppy, but I do have a green screen.
He's in front of the studio department.
I'm just experimenting, guys.
Downtown.
Yeah. I think I'm in downtown Boston right now.
Is that it?
He has a downtown St. Louis.
So, knowing that only Carl and I can see you, and you can't see us, whenever we do this for this show, what was the motivation to put up a corner apartment skyline background?
Well, Tony, this may surprise you, but I do other things besides the Weekend Report.
So where you're getting
paid. I occasionally do some television, some other radio programs, guest host occasionally.
Yeah.
And so I thought that when I do television, instead of having the bland background that everyone else has, that I would have something exciting.
Gotcha. So this is, you're just testing this one out.
I'm just testing it out on you guys.
I have a piece of advice. Don't use this one.
Why
on
not?
Television.
Because your arm is missing.
Yeah, your arm. Well, and when you move your head, it has a trailer almost.
He says it works better on Zoom than Skype.
Actually, this works better on Zoom instead of with Skype. But if this was on Zoom, it would look much, much better.
Right,
Skype doesn't do as well.
Gotcha.
Thank you for asking.
Call us on Zoom next
You're
week.
You're welcome. All right, we just talked to the new state representative-elect, Adam Schwadron, who won his race in St. Charles, running as a Republican for an open seat over there by the skin of his teeth, by just about 500 votes. Democrats targeting that area, and something I want to continue that type of conversation with our guest now. Jeff Smith is back on the phone with us, former Missouri State Senator, Democrat Jeff Smith. Jeff, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's up, Tony? How you doing, man?
Doing good. Hello. Doing good. Chris Arps is here with me.
Hello,
as well.
Senator.
Hey, how are you, Chris?
Good.
Before we dive in, how was your Thanksgiving? Everything's, it's 2020, so everything's a little weird. Were you able to still enjoy the holiday?
We had a great holiday. We did a little pie exchange with my parents who are getting up there in years. So we saw them outside for a minute or two, but mostly just spent the time with my immediate family, just being grateful for everything that we have.
Yeah, we just had my mom over this year. It was the first time my wife, and I won't say how many years she's been alive, but in all the years she's been alive, is the first time she didn't see her parents. But, us, like many others, wanted to, limit the exposure of especially our kids to as few people as possible. So we had just a very small little dinner, but it was good. And now hopefully with the news of the vaccine right around the corner, hopefully at some point life will start to get back to normal. I want to ask you about this because it's very, and I didn't plan on talking about this until we just had the conversation with Adam Schwadron. He was on right before you. He is a new Missouri State rep from St. Charles.
106th district.
Yeah, 106th district, right on the eastern edge there of St. Charles County. And we were talking in the last segment about how many Missourians look at, say, Charles County as being this bright red district, this bright red, or this bright red county, this bright red area that's controlled by Republicans. But Adam won his race there by only 500 votes, almost lost the seat to the Democrat there. I would imagine that picking up seats and ground in places like St. Charles County and Jefferson County is something that the Democratic Party in Missouri would be is very much targeting and trying to pull off. How big of a deal would that be for the Democrats to be able to expand that reach and, you know, not be just the party of the cities on either side of the state?
Hey, that's a great question. Let me start by saying that Adam was one of my favorite students I've ever taught. I had him at Washington University about 15 years ago. And I got to tell you, and you guys kind of know how I am, but, I don't like being in a liberal bubble. And sometimes a university political science class can be, you know, just a whole lot of people on one side. So I always really loved having his conservative voice to kind of provoke some of the other students in there. So, you know, I was obviously I'm a Democrat, but if we're going to have Republicans winning in close districts, I like him for him to be really good people like Adam.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So be that as it may, St. Charles is a critical county if Democrats are to be able to come back at all in Missouri. We can't be successful as a party that can only succeed in Jackson County, Boone County, St. Louis County, and St. Louis City. There's no way in a state with 114 counties that you can just do well in four counties and win. So St. Charles is a natural place for us to do well because so many people who used to live in North County and were kind of pro-labor, you know, working the middle-class Democrats have moved west towards St. Charles. And if they bring their Democratic partisanship with them, as early results, you know, seem to indicate over the last several years, then we have a real shot of making competitive the county that used to be the county where Republicans would rack up more, a bigger absolute vote margin than they would just about anywhere in the state.
To put a highlight on that exact point, I am from Florissant. I still live in Florissant. I went to school at Hazelwood Central, and we graduated in the 90s. Chris graduated in the 50s.
70s, 60s, wasn't it?
What were you, Chris? About 10 years before me, also at Hazelwood?
84 is when I graduated.
There you go. I was 96. So, And every single one, I'm not kidding. Every single one of my good friends, which is almost 10 people that graduated with me, that we all lived in Florissant, Hazelwood area, I am the only one that still lives in North County, and they all live in St. Charles County. So, Jeff, your point is spot on. That is exactly. Are you flying? Like, literally? Like, literally? Are you flying in a flock of birds
He's
right
outside.
Now?
You guys caught me in the middle of my run.
Oh, gotcha. Very cool. Hey, that's awesome. Your point is right.
I've at least stopped running to talk to you guys.
I was going to say, if you could talk that clearly.
Alfred Hitchcock and the birds or something, yeah. Like following you or
and
something.
If he could talk that clearly while running, then he's in better shape than almost anybody I know. That's awesome. But no, Jeff, your point is so right. Like I said, so many people from North County have moved across the border into St. Charles County. I want to get your thoughts. Another thing we were talking to Adam about was the situation with the coronavirus shutdowns, you know, and that has pushed a lot of people that live in St. Louis County and St. Louis City into shopping and dining and those types of things in St. Charles County. That kind of defeats the purpose. Like, the idea is not to go other places to go out and be around people. It's to stay home. But you can't do that when you don't control a large area. Do you support what Sam Page has done when it comes to restrictions and shutdowns? Where do you stand on the whole coronavirus situation?
You know, he's a physician. He's trying to take his cues from people like Dr. Alex Garza, who I serve on the county jail oversight board with, who is just a fantastic, brilliant, nationally experienced guy who's been an assistant secretary at the Department of Homeland Security, has, you know, just brings a great deal of expertise to the table. He's listening to people like that. Frankly, I hear what you guys are saying, which is that how effective is it if the surrounding counties won't do it as well? And you have a good point. And I wish that the surrounding counties, that everyone, county, you know, county commissioners and county executives across the state, were taking this as seriously as Dr. Page is. Because I think, you know, one of the things that we're seeing right now in the St. Louis County hospitals is that people from outstate Missouri, where, you know, county executives and county commissioners are not taking it as seriously, not insisting on masks and social distancing, people there are getting sick and flooding the St. Louis County hospitals and emergency rooms. And so I'd love to see us have a little bit more maybe statewide leadership on this so that Dr. Page was not an outlier.
Got just a couple minutes left here with Jeff Smith, former Missouri State Senator. Chris, you got one more for Jeff before we let him go?
I do.
Go ahead.
Senator, on Friday, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that people of faith, Christian, Jews, Muslims, and others still have a First Amendment right. Do you agree with that ruling from Friday?
That's an interesting way to ask that question. Go ahead, Jeff.
Look, I think, you know, it showed the impact that Amy Coney Barrett is going to have on the Supreme Court. You know, Chief Justice Roberts, who had been the swing vote, you know, for the last several years on some key decisions, you know, siding with the liberals on several key decisions over the last couple of years, being in the decided minority now with now Amy Coney Barrett replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So, look, I've said on this station before, and I'll say it again, I think Democrats erred, like in the wake of the George Floyd protests, not necessarily Democrats, but when you had some public health experts co-signing that and saying, hey, it's okay to be out and protest for a cause like this, but it's not okay, you know, to worship together. That undermined the credibility of some public health experts across the country. And so I think we saw a backlash to that. And part of the backlash is, you know, is kind of underlies this case. So, you know, I think we shouldn't have, I would have liked to see public health experts from the start say, look, you know, if we want to save lives, we want to keep people from congregating by the thousands in any way, no matter how righteous the cause of a mass protest may be, it's not a good idea to do it right now. And that's unfortunately not what we saw uniformly. And so I would prefer to see, you know, consistency across the board. And I understand people's first expression, you know, First Amendment rights to religious expression, but I think common sense should prevail at this time, especially now that we see a light at the end of the tunnel with a vaccine coming down the pipe.
Jeff Smith, we always appreciate your time. We've got to leave it there. We're out of time this hour, but we will talk to you again soon. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, my friend.
I apologize for the wind shear, and you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
You guys have
a great Thanksgiving.
Totally
weekend.
Fine. Get back to your run. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
And we'll take this break, and we will start hour number two with Jeff's good friend, former Missouri Speaker of the House, Tim Jones, when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and it's hour number two of The Weekend Report on your radio. If you missed anything from that first hour, don't forget you can always download our podcast. You can get The Weekend Report podcast anywhere that you get podcasts, but I recommend the Radio.com app because the Radio.com app is free. And once you have it, you have basically access to everything here at the radio station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station right there on the radio.com app. In that first hour, we talked to Mike Ferguson, who was in studio with us, started the hour with us. We also talked to new Missouri State Representative Adam Schwadron, I guess representative-elect still at this point. And we also talked to former Missouri State Senator Jeff Smith. So it was a packed first hour. Make sure you go back and check that out. And we will start hour number two, as I mentioned, with Jeff Smith's good friend and frequent debate partner, former Missouri Speaker of the House, Tim Jones, joins us. Tim, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you all doing today?
Doing good.
Excellent.
So Jeff was we caught him in the middle of his jog, in the middle of his run, and there were birds, and there was wind, and there was a lot going. There was trucks driving by.
Yep.
And
yep.
I understand you're outside as well, enjoying
the great
outdoors.
I can hit a golf ball real fast. Yeah.
Oh, do it. Yeah.
Put the phone down and do it.
Or hold it on. Do whatever you need to
do. This is going to be
hold the phone near the tee.
Here we go.
Let's hear it. Here we go.
It sounded good.
That was no good, actually. It didn't work out well.
It sounded good.
That's a mulligan.
You know what I learned? Don't golf and radio at the same time.
Yeah, there's a good idea. But you know what? Yeah. You could have told us anything. You could have said
hole in one.
You could have said 320 yards right down the middle of the fairway.
That's what it sounded
and
like.
And we would have believed you. We would have had
that's
to.
That's what it sounded like. Literally did. Right.
So we appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your holiday weekend to join us, Tim. We were talking to Jeff Smith and Adam Schwadron. I don't know if you know Adam Schwadron, the new rep there out of St. Charles County. But he was in quite a battle in St. Charles County, which people don't realize that the Democrats, especially there on the eastern edge of the county, could be on the verge of taking some seats out of what I think a lot of people consider a very red county. How important is it to Missouri Republicans to not let the Democrats, control spread beyond the big cities?
Yeah, so guys, there's been this is the big untold story, except on this station and maybe in some of the other more conservative leaning publications around the state, which are very few. There needs to be more, which I'm glad why we have our voice. Republicans did smashingly well in the election on the state level, and not just in the state of Missouri, guys, but every state, right? Not a single state legislature that was Republican was switched to Democrat over the last over the last election cycle. Not a single one. And guess what? Guess what happened in reverse? Republicans swung the New Hampshire legislature. The New Hampshire legislature is now Republican, believe it or not. They have, and it's a trifecta. They have a Republican governor, they have a Republican House, and they have a Republican Senate. And so there was all this talk, there was all this bluster by the Missouri Democratic Party and their willing co-conspirators at the Post Disgrace and the Kansas City Red Star leading up to the election. Everybody was talking from the same talking points. You know, it's the left-wing media industrial complex conspiracy, right? Because they were all saying the same thing. Oh, there's a blue wave coming. People are really upset with Donald Trump. Oh, these Missouri Republicans, they're horrible. All they keep doing is passing all these pro-life bills and all these Second Amendment freedom bills. Oh, freedom, freedom, freedom. You know, well, guess what? Missourians doubled down on freedom and liberty. They doubled down on the Republican supermajority. We lost one seat in the entire state. It was a very difficult seat. Believe it or not, it was down in Springfield, Missouri. A good friend of mine, Representative Steve Helms. Let me tell you, though, that's not new. That seat, since I was in the legislature back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, you know, 10 years ago, it swung back and forth back then. We managed to hold it, but it was a very 50-50 seat. So it was a huge victory for Missouri Republicans to not only hold all the seats in the state except for one, but to hold the supermajority and to win all these seats easily, right? Senator Andrew Koenig right here in St. Louis, guys, you remember that seat? That was supposed to flip, right? That was supposed to be a big turnaround. They were supposed to pick that up. That was the Congresswoman Ann Wagner district, which comprised all that state Senate district. Ann Wagner won. Andrew Koenig won. Everybody who had an R after their name, except for one person out of 117 Republicans, won their seat. So it was very important to make that stance. Why is that now so? Well, I think the Democrats are basically going to they've already been saying, I've been hearing from my channels, they may not have anybody able to run against Roy Blunt in 2 years for U.S. Senate. Can you believe how red Missouri has become?
Yeah. Talking to former Missouri Speaker of the House, host of the Tim Jones Show, Tim Jones. Go ahead, Chris.
Speaker Jones, I'm going to attempt to ask you the same question that I asked Senator Smith. I'm not really sure he answered this question, but I'm going to pose it to you. You know, on Friday, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that people of faith, Muslims, Jews, all people have a right to their First Amendment. What say you? Was that a correct decision?
Boy, it absolutely was. And first of all, doesn't it show the clairvoyance of Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell to get Amy Coney Barrett on the court sooner than later? Because they knew that this decision, that these cases and other cases like it were coming down the pike, and they needed Amy Coney Barrett's vote on the Supreme Court to do that. Look, Chris, here's the problem. I don't know how Jeff Smith could not be in favor of religious freedom and liberty, especially when, and this is where the height of hypocrisy comes in. You know, if these left-wing liberals think that the coronavirus is so dangerous and that we need to not be in our churches, mosques, or synagogues, then why won't they also say that we can't be in our big box stores, our liquor stores, or our barbershops, right? And I want all those businesses.
Or our airports.
Or our airports, right? Everybody freaked out about the fact that, oh, my God, Americans went to the airport for Thanksgiving. Well, yeah, 2.5 million less Americans went to the airport this year. Tony, I heard you talking about that earlier in the week, and they never brought that point up, did they? So here's the thing. If we're allowed to, you know, go get a six-pack or go get our nails done or go jump on a train, a bus, or a subway, then why can't we with you know, austerity and correct social distancing and mask wearing, you walk very calmly into a church, don't you? You're not rioting. You're not causing havoc like they are in the streets of all across urban America. You're walking into these places. You're standing in a pew. You're not moving for about 45 minutes, and then you're filing politely out. And so the fact that they think that coronavirus can spread in gatherings like that just shows the height of liberal hypocrisy. If it's good enough, like I said, for the commercial industry, it should be good enough for synagogues, mosques, and other houses of worship.
Tim, what's the latest as far as you know? And then also just how are you personally feeling right now about the state of Trump's case, continuing case to get this election overturned or you know, win some of these cases in states that would flip the Electoral College back to his side? Is it fleeting at this point, or is it still strong?
Yeah, I think, Tony, the problem is it's a matter of time. It's the problem that the clock is against us. Look, do I believe there were some major systemic problems all across this country with electoral voter fraud? I absolutely do. There's too many actual examples. There's too many people who have signed on the dotted line, who have signed affidavits under oath that said they noticed these irregularities. There's too many witnesses who said that voter dumps were happening in favor of one candidate, Joe Biden, and against the other candidate, Donald Trump, at 3 and 4 in the morning. There's too many examples of the Dominion voting machines having very strange internal algorithmic procedures. And you know who complained about those machines? Democrats did back in 2018. You can go look at the footage on MSDNC, and you can see them complaining about the Dominion voting machines. Here's the problem, though, Tony. To set up a case like that in the real world, where you're not racing against a clock of a December 12th deadline when the electors have to report and make their certifications known, you would actually put this case together over a period of months, if not years. This would require experts and a lot of very complex, convoluted examinations of computer systems, right? So even though I think they can throw out a ton of examples, and there's examples replete, to get a court to upend an election to the tune of 10 to 15,000 votes, that's the difficulty. Do I believe a lot of this happened? Yes. Do I believe that some of these races could be turned on their heads and some of these states could even be flipped? Yeah, if they had the time. I just don't think they're going to have the time to put together the kind of complex, complicated arguments that need to be done in a proper court proceeding.
Chris, do you agree with what the speaker just said? And then if you have a question, go ahead.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
The clock is not the friend of the Trump campaign when it comes to these ballot irregularities. But I do believe that there were some irregularities. There's a lot of smoke, but there's just not enough time to really search out for the fire. My one question for you, Mr. Speaker, we're hearing rumblings about 2024 that the state treasurer may challenge Nicole Galloway for the state auditor. We're hearing rumblings that maybe former Governor Eric Greitens might challenge Senator Blunt in 2024 or may run for governor or run for governor himself later. What are you hearing, sir? And what do you think of those, what I just put out there?
Yeah, I think Scott Fitzpatrick, who's our current state treasurer, would be an excellent candidate for any higher office that he would like to seek above the treasurer level. I'm also hearing that right here in the neck of our woods, State Representative David Gregory is thinking about jumping into the auditor's race. And he's a very aggressive, ambitious young man. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's been really digging in to big government and looking at ways that we are wasting money. He has uncovered a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. He's got an accountancy background. He's an attorney. I think he'd be a good candidate as well. I've also heard Mary Elizabeth Coleman mentioned. You know, there's a lot of good people out there. We are very blessed in that we have a very deep, strong, wide bench in Missouri Republican politics. Now, going back to the very first question you asked me, we definitely reaffirmed that in spades, did we not, a few weeks ago. And the Missouri Democratic Party, I think, is going to be a super minority, or at least a minority party, for the foreseeable future, maybe the next 10 to 15 years.
Talking to the host of the Tim Jones Show, former Missouri Speaker of the House, Tim Jones. I want to get your thoughts on what's happening in Georgia. You know, if you look at any news website, what the elections in Georgia are still at the very top of the page. It's, you know, the headline. It's part of the big headlines that are happening right now. But I think by and large, people, the residents of the United States have this belief that the Republicans held the Senate, the Democrats held the House of Representatives, and Joe Biden has won the presidency. But I'm not sure that it's that that door has shut, and I think that there are a lot of Democrats, and maybe even some Republicans that are worried, at least, that the Democrats may find a way to win these special elections in the state of Georgia. Can you talk about what's happening down there in Georgia and how you're feeling about the elections and the Republicans' chances of winning them and holding the Senate?
So I am nervous, but I am confident. I'm confident because I think David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler are both excellent candidates. I think David Perdue is a great candidate because he's been there and done that. He is an incumbent. He is established. I don't know if he's an establishment because I don't know that much about him. I just know he's a straight shooter. He comes from a good political lineage. My understanding, he's been a supporter of the president's. My understanding is the president has announced that he's going to go down there a week from today. He's going to go down there next Saturday and do a big rally down in Georgia. So I think that's good. I think the president is starting to realize he needs whatever happens to him, especially if he's not in the White House, he needs to leave the Republican Party in good shape, or they'll blame him for it, for not leaving in good shape. And what a better legacy. It's so weird. Again, going back to your earlier question, how in the world does someone pick up 15 million new votes amongst Hispanics, African-Americans, women, if you're a Republican, and still lose the White House as you completely demolish Nancy Pelosi's majority and you hold the Senate possibly, right? Mm-hmm. So if Donald Trump, it just adds fuel to his argument that there was something weird that happened in this last election. If he leaves the Republican Party in the place where after this alleged blue wave, there's 52 U.S. senators and Nancy Pelosi barely has a four-seat, right? It'll be a four-seat majority in the U.S. House. That is a remarkable legacy for Donald Trump to leave behind, and I think it's really notable of that success. So I'm hearing that Karl Rove is heading down to Georgia. I'm hearing that they have all hands on deck. I'm hearing that they are going to take on the Stacey Abrams, the governor in exile voter fraud machine. I'm also hearing the Democrats are being very aggressive. They're literally busing people in to establish residency, which is honestly against the spirit, if not the absolute letter of the law, and maybe against the letter of the law as well. I really am. I'm hopeful, though, that the Georgia Republican Party can get its act together, turn this thing around. I think that people are going to be motivated to hold that Senate. Look, they got motivated about the Supreme Court 4 years ago, didn't they? That was one of the biggest things that Donald Trump drove people to the polls for. People know that the Supreme Court, the Electoral College, packing not only the court, but packing the U.S. Senate with additional Democrat U.S. senators by adding Puerto Rico and D.C. as states. Joe Biden now made a huge mistake, and guess what he did this week? He started talking about his policies. He started talking about unchecked illegal immigration and Green New Deals. He stayed away from that in the campaign. I think he forgot that he probably forgets a lot of things these days, that there were two more Senate seats at risk. And so by Joe Biden talking about his policies, that's only going to help us pick up those Senate seats in 6 weeks.
We need to let you go, but I really want to ask this. So David Perdue, so the deal down there in Georgia, for people that don't know, is you had to get 50%. You have to get 50% or more of the vote for it to be official. And since there are other, you know, there are libertarian candidates and other, you know, other candidates running from the even multiple Democrats and Republicans running, David Perdue got 49.7% of the vote on election day in that election, almost beat John Ossoff by two whole points. And then if you look at the other race,
you know, you had Kelly Loeffler, but you had who is Doug Collins also running. The primary Democrat in that race only got about 30% of the vote, and the Republicans were split because they had two very, you know, they had two main candidates running. But if you look at that and you do the math, the Republicans had way more votes in both of those elections than the Democrats did.
Yes.
So why all the worry? Why this belief that somehow the Democrats can come back and close the gaps in both of those races and somehow win when, you know, we're doing this procedurally, but if you look from election night, it looks like the Republicans had a lot more support than the Democrats did in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, Tony, great question. Here's the problem, though. Donald Trump allegedly lost the state. And so that's what Republicans are terrified about. Yes, your argument is valid. If you add up the top two Republican vote getters in both of those races, they easily and clearly beat the top two Democrat vote getters.
That's right.
But Donald Trump still allegedly lost the entire state of Georgia. So they're worried about who's going to turn out. And so that's what I was talking about earlier. Republicans have got to come out in droves. They've got to come out in droves and droves. They've got to realize what's at stake here. And I think they do. I think the fact that we're talking about court packing and illegal immigration and Green New Deals, I'm glad that Joe Biden's finally talking about policy. He avoided talking about it for nearly 2 years straight. And now that he's talking about policy, we're seeing what's truly at risk here. If people didn't think about this before in the last election, I hope they truly are now.
All right. What scares me, Mr. Speaker, is Georgia has set a record for the most mail-in ballots for a runoff election. That terrifies me.
Yep, very concerning, Chris. Absolutely, great point.
Yeah, that it just, I mean, if you look at these numbers, like even in the David Perdue race, like I said, David Perdue won that race by almost 2 points over John Ossoff. The Libertarian candidate, who won't be in the special election, got over 2% of the votes. You got to imagine the majority of those will go to the Republican. It seems like they have the advantage there, but like you just illustrated, Tim, it could be a lot closer.
Absolutely.
And in a year of shenanigans, I guess you never know what could happen.
For sure.
Yep. All right. Sure. We sorry to keep you so long. We'll let you get back to your group. I'm sure your guys are looking at you like, come on, man, get back out here.
They're like, are you doing the whole show or what's going on here?
Yes. I'd have kept you for the whole show if I could, but we'll let you get back to the golf
course. I thought you guys
were
in the clubhouse.
And no, he was out. He started the segment by hitting a drive. Ball. Yeah.
I thought he was on his way to the clubhouse.
Hey, God bless America, guys. Glad you're doing this, especially on a weekend when people are at home listening. And happy Thanksgiving Day weekend to all you guys. It's been always a pleasure to join you on the Weekend Report.
Yeah, back at you, Tim. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
All right, let's take another quick break and come back with more Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. To the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner Chris Arps is at the
Arps
compound.
He's the one moving the microphone.
And go ahead.
I noticed something.
Yes.
He has two windscreens.
You have two windscreens on? Oh,
I
you
need
do.
That. I am a pee popper guy.
But
and
that's
I,
what
I need that.
That's what the bottom one would fix the peas.
Work, Carl. It doesn't work. I pop peas even with that one on, so I decided to go with the windscreen as well.
I just want
Weekend Report show to have the best audio quality that we can have, and so that's why.
As your video quality.
As your arm
I wish people, can you see it? Can you see what we see, Chris?
That your arm keeps disappearing?
Yeah, I see it. I know it's fading, and I'm streaming and fading in
the
and
microphone
out.
Keeps disappearing. You're shirt keeps disappearing.
Ted Cruz, Missouri.
I actually don't have the green screen behind me. That's just a picture. But if I put the green screen behind me, it won't be as bad. But it doesn't work as well on.
You know, you got that. You got that Ted Cruz hoodie on.
Yes.
We talked to the senator a few weeks ago here on the show, and you worked for the Ted Cruz presidential campaign, and he kind of. You know, you asked him if he wanted to break some news and announce that he would be running in 2024, and he definitely didn't say no. In fact, his answer kind of made it sound like it was a very strong possibility that he'll run for president in 2024. Do you think Donald Trump losing this election and possibly being a part of the next election will change the plans for Ted Cruz?
I do not. I think Ted Cruz sees an open seat, and he's ran against Don Trump before in 2016.
And
so he kind of knows his tactics, kind of knows his the way he does things. So, yeah, I definitely think he'll run. The only way that I don't think Cruz would run in the primary is if Donald Trump announces and there's just overwhelming support for him and no one else is really gaining any traction and it's he can't raise any money and he's wasting his time. That's the only way I could see him not running.
Think Trump will run in four years?
I do. Oh, definitely.
Do you think it'll be the same?
This was stolen from him.
And I get all that.
4 years to bash Biden, and definitely, I think
so
he's going to run again.
If you remember, and the only thing that we can possibly even compare this to, and it's certainly not an apples to apples comparison, but is the year 2000, and in that election, which was, you know, which went to court, wasn't certified until the middle of December. The Democrat Al Gore, who ended up losing the election, won the popular vote. He was, you know, he was the one filing lawsuits and all that. And I remember very distinctly at his when he finally did give his concession speech that the group of people, his supporters that he was giving that speech in front of, were passionately chanting Gore in four, Gore in four, Gore in four. And it seemed like he had the wind at his back, all this momentum. He just won the popular vote in a presidential election in a very close and a race that was very close electorally and everything else. And it seemed very likely at that moment that he would run again in 4 years and have a very strong chance at winning because of all the success that he had just had. But 4 years is a long time. I know it doesn't feel like it anymore, but it still really is a long
time. And September 11th.
And things, yeah, that's true. But things faded for Al Gore quickly after even all the momentum he had in the 2000 election. Why won't that happen to Donald Trump?
I think what happened in 2000 with Al Gore, and I think he could have ran for 2000 in 2004 and may have been the nominee again. I think what happened with Al Gore, this is very heartbreaking when you lose elections. I've never lost one on a presidential level, and a high level like that, but it's very disparaging. I think he had every intention to run in 2004, but then that's when he jumped into this climate change racket. And he's become a 100 millionaire. He's worth a whole lot of money. And I think he just said, hey, I can go around the country lecturing and winning Emmy Awards, Academy Awards, and this can be my new thing. I'd rather just make the money. I've never really made a lot of money during my career. I had my chance at president. I'm going to go and make the money. With Donald Trump, I think that you have 73 million people that are passionate about him, and I think that that momentum can still hang around for 4 years because they felt that this was stolen from him. And I think when you saw support for Gore, I don't think it was as high as amount of the Democratic Party as you see people want to support Trump within the Republican Party. You had your vocal people in Democrats, but I think it's a high majority of Republicans want him to run again in 2024, and I think that's the difference.
I want to go back to something we were talking about with Speaker Jones in the last segment. And get more of your opinion on this, Chris. You had both talked about that the clock is just not a friend of the president and his legal team right now,
And Speaker Jones talked about how he believes that there was a boatload of fraud and in illegal votes and all of that. But it just doesn't take, they just don't have enough time to gather that type, right, that large of a case, and therefore probably won't be able to prove anything. Two questions. If I'm not mistaken, you basically agreed with that statement. Yeah. Is that correct? So, mm-hmm. In that case, two questions. One, why not just concede now? If you know you can't put together the case, like, why drag it out even more? If you know you're not going to be able to pull it off. And two, even if you lose this election, why not continue the case? Why not continue to, even if it takes 2 years, not so you can flip who's in the office, but just to prove that this happened, so we shine a spotlight on it and it doesn't happen again. Why not just concede the race now, allow Joe Biden to move forward as president, but keep the cases alive, keep the investigations alive, and try to prove that all of this happened so it doesn't happen again in the future. Again, not to flip it. I'm not saying fight this in court for 2 years and try to put Donald Trump in office in 2022. I'm just saying, why not continue to prove your case, take the time it needs, so you can shine a spotlight on all of this and clean up elections in the future?
I think the main part of that is just money. I mean, it takes a whole lot of money to put in for investigators, to put in for top attorneys to keep this case going.
Well, all the people
that
are...
You have to try to keep the public motivated that even though the election has been certified, Vice President Joe Biden is now the president and is in office, we still need to raise money to pursue a case that is not going to bring us the outcome that we want. So I think that's the biggest problem with it, especially when it comes to time. Once December 14th comes and the election is certified, it doesn't matter what comes up afterwards. It's done.
So it's not really about
certifying the election.
It's not really about cleaning up our elections. It's just that we can't win. Our guy can't win. So let's shut it down.
Well, I think we should try to clean up our elections, Tony. But the thing is, we haven't seen a lot of proof. There's a lot of smoke, but we haven't seen any fire yet. And I think people will.
But if it takes 2 years to find the fire, then to use the 2 years to find the fire. And
but I think people will gradually begin to lose interest or patience if it's month after month after month.
But why do you need the
public's blockbuster allegations?
But why do you need the public?
We don't see anything backing it up yet.
But why do you need public influence at all to do a lot to proceed with a lawsuit? There's plenty of $1 million lawsuits that happen every single day.
He sues everybody
that the public isn't involved in. If you're Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, you've certainly got the money to fund this investigation. Why not go through the whole process, take as long as it takes, if it's a year or two, and expose all of this fraud, all of this wrongdoing,
make it your issue.
Again, not
because Donald Trump is cheap, and he's not going to put his own money into this. And to keep this going for year after year, or however long it takes to prove it, takes a whole bunch of money, Tony. And after a while, the people are just going to get exhausted with it and say, hey, I agree with you that the election was stolen from you, Mr. President, but we're not going to receive the outcome that we want, and we're just not just going to throw our money down a dark hole for lawyers.
Yeah.
But well, that's eventually what that's, you will end up happening.
You understand that my point, though, that this what is sad about that is that we'll never clean up our elections because it's only important for a month to the people who have maybe lost at this point.
You got to show blockbuster evidence.
Roles reversed.
Stage.
Well, I know, but. Again, it's either there or it's not. And you and Tim Jones both said that you believe it's there. And I believe that there's a chance that it's there. I believe that there is definitely a high level of irregularities, voter fraud, illegal votes. I don't know if there's enough to flip the election, but I personally believe that there was a lot of shenanigans going on in many of these states.
But you need something to make people believe it, though. You got to do more than you. If you want to prolong this, you got to show more than smoke. You got to show something concrete to keep people's interest, or it's just not going to go anywhere.
You don't need people's interest to go through a lawsuit. Million-dollar lawsuits happen every day without the public support.
Tony, Donald Trump is not going to pay out of his own pocket for these lawsuits.
And that's what's sad. That's what I'm getting to.
Rudy Giuliani is not going to pay out of the pocket for these lawsuits. You need donors. They have legal defense funds.
And neither would Joe Biden.
And what I'm saying is if you're prolonging suits and you're not winning anything, even though there's a lot of smoke, you're not going to get people donating the type of money that you need to keep these lawsuits and investigations going. That's just the bottom line, as Mark Cox would say.
And Joe Biden,
money for lawyers. And Joe Biden, don't do this for free.
And Joe Biden and his legal team wouldn't do it either. They would fight. If roles reversed, I am convinced. Some people disagree with me when I say this, but if this would have went down exactly flipped, I believe Joe Biden and his legal team would be fighting just as hard as Donald Trump and his legal team have been fighting to this point. But they would give it up on December 15th. Just like the president is going to. But my whole point here is that we all believe and think that there's this massive amount of fraud out there. But look, if we can't win the election in time, then it's not worth exposing or finding out
the
truth.
It's not a question of that. It's what I've been saying, Tony. Lawsuits take money.
I know.
And if this keeps going on and on and on and on, and it's not showing like it's going to be what we want, people with deep pockets, everyday people that send $20 to $25 to things like this aren't going to do it. It's not going. There's not going to be any money to pursue it.
I'm agreeing with that, and I'm saying that is the sick, sad truth. Is that we don't care enough about the truth and exposing this stuff. If our guy won't win, nobody's worth investing. Nobody will invest the time or money it takes to get to the bottom of this if they know they can't get the results that they want in time.
If he was a true public servant.
All of these things we could say all of these things are happening, but we're never going to get to the truth because it's not worth it. It's not worth the time and resources because we can't get our guy to win.
You're not showing anything initially to make people want to invest money and time and resources in it. The crime may be there, but unless you can show relatively soon that we have evidence, it's not going to go anywhere.
I know it doesn't feel like it, but we are agreeing.
Make it your cause, like you were saying. Gore, his cause became climate change and made a whole lot of money off that.
Yeah.
Make election reform your cause.
I wish
once you're out of office.
That's a great point. I wish somebody would. I wish somebody with deep pockets would make it their cause to get to the bottom of it. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
That's not sexy. You're not going to win Academy Awards for election reform.
If they made a movie about it, they could.
Is that how many minutes we're into this segment?
Yes.
All right, let's take a break and do one more segment when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. This really is the best part of the show. Where'd he go?
Oh, he's off camera.
Wait,
he left.
Listen, we've got to find a way for the listeners to see what happens every week when we play this song and Chris thinks he's playing air guitar along. You were completely gone.
Out of frame.
That was
on purpose. But I didn't want you guys to see my technique. I'm like Eddie Van Halen. I don't want you to like steal my air guitar.
But you didn't come back in time. By the time you came back, the big note was already passed.
I know. That's why I did it on purpose. I don't want you stealing my technique, man.
So, of course, that is the great music from Perry Woods, our friend. You can download his music on Amazon, iTunes, just about anywhere you download music. The Woods Experience.
Or local music.
Yeah. If you don't download Perry's music, please download another local band or local artists and always support local music. And Chris, you joined me
while I hosted the Dave Glover Show a couple times this week.
It was twice.
And on Wednesday, after you left, we talked to Perry. We interviewed Perry on Wednesday on the Dave Glover Show and talked to him. Go ahead.
Oh, I've met him, right?
I think
yes.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, I can't remember if I've met him. That was like a running joke that I've never met him. I didn't know if he existed or not.
He was on with us at about 6 o'clock on Wednesday on the Dave Glover Show, and we talked to him about 2020 and its effect on entertainers, gig workers. You know, Perry is a professional musician. Luckily, Perry is very talented when it comes to working on cars, so he has a full-time job as well. But he's only had that full-time job for a few years. I've known Perry for, I don't know, 23, something like that, 23 years. Mm-hmm. And for 20 of those years, he was only a professional musician.
Making money.
And had this have happened in one of those years, this coronavirus, he would have not been able to pay his bills.
We would have seen him on the street somewhere singing with a sign.
So we talked to him about that. We talked to him about the effect that it's had on performers. We also talked to comedian Greg Warren on the Dave Glover Show earlier this week. You know, very similar situation with stand-up comedians. So really interesting to hear their thoughts on how 2020 has affected their industries and what they're looking towards in 2021, even after the vaccine and all that. Have these industries been changed for good? You know, will we ever go back to concerts and shows and things like that at the level we saw before?
I've got a high school friend of mine who worked for Disney World. He was one of the performers down there. He performed in
thousands
the movies.
Of them. Yeah.
He's been in the movies before. Worked for them for 30 years.
Whoa.
And he got a layoff slip.
34,000 people.
Yeah. I have to believe that those guys are going to come back to work, that Disney's going to open all that stuff back up. I'm not sure about other performers. I'm not sure about, I don't know about other venues and theaters. Mm-hmm. But I think Disney is going to get itself back up and running to 100% at some point. But
that's a terrible story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very, very sad and devastating for those folks. Carl, you had something?
Well, I wanted to say, I know last week you had Brian Eggers on, but I had Brian Eggers to my house this week.
Oh, yeah.
I had Brian. They've been amazing. I had an issue with my coolant system the day before the 4th of July, the 3rd of July, and Steve came out and fixed it the 3rd of July. The day before Thanksgiving, I had an issue with my heater. And he sent Ryan over, and so now, I told Brian, I said, you're not going to believe this. I know it's another day before a holiday. And he's like, yeah, we get this all the time. Because people wait to call until, like, they're having people over or something big, or they know that there's going to be a day off. And he's like, don't worry, we gotcha.
Right.
And my house, that was, of course, the day it got down to 32. And so my pipes didn't freeze, thanks to Eggers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we talked about this the last time he was on. A very funny story at our house. Kind of the same thing. We had the first cold day of this year. So about a month ago, you know, something like that. The first day that my wife turned on the furnace, I was at work all day that day. She turned on the furnace, and it never blew
didn't
hot
kick
air.
Over.
It just blew cold air the whole day. And so when I got home, I called him, and we put in a new system at my mom's house this year, and we used Brian. So I've seen like the dramatic change that Eggers can provide you if you're
looking
for a new system. My system in my home is ancient, and it's very. And I told Brian when this was happening. I said I think it's the pilot light because it's the first time we turned it on in a year, and he was like, dude.
They
kind of like laughed at me like it's not a water heater. It's a furnace. They don't have pilot lights. And I said, oh, I really think it's a pilot light. And he said, dude, he was like, I'm not kidding you. Pilot lights. It's been 40 years since there's been a pilot light on an HVAC system. And so he comes over that night, walks down in the basement, and I see his eyes because I knew it was a pilot light because I'm looking at it. He just wouldn't believe me, and when he sees that I actually have a system with a pilot light, he just couldn't believe it. He was like, "Oh my, I'll be damned! It is your pilot light."
Well, I told them it was my motor. And my wife's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Ryan walks in, it's your motor. So we're really good at diagnosing what the problem is. We just can't fix it.
No, I'm not. Yeah, pilot lights scare me. I don't know about you,
me
Chris.
Too.
Gas.
Go sticking a match through a little tiny, I don't know how that was ever whoever created that system,
how that was the
best way to do it.
I have an
idea.
Exactly.
We're going to have gas constantly pouring into your home.
And if it goes out.
And
we'll
if it goes out.
Cut it on fire again.
Yeah. Here's this long match that you stick through a little crack. Hope for the best.
Yeah.
And just hope for the best.
Yeah, and that's why they don't do it.
Tony, when it comes to relighting pilot lights, that just terrifies me, man. And I'm going to blow the house off the foundation.
But it was really funny to see Brian. But I will give him credit for this. Brian's not that old of a guy, but he still knew exactly how to fix the pilot light system like he'd worked on it every single day, when the fact is he hasn't seen one in probably 20 years. So I got to give him credit for that. Yeah.
CallAgers.com.
Yep. CallAgers.com if you want to check out Agers HVAC. All right, we got to wrap up this edition of the Weekend Report. Check out the podcast. If you missed anything, you get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I would recommend the radio.com app for that. For producer Carl Middleman.
Thanks.
And my partner Chris Arps, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Weekend Report. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Peace.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.